So let's quickly review from yesterday. Okay, yesterday we started fresh, right? And today, I don't really have anything that good to say today, but I'm hoping that we'll work it out together. Okay, I'm kind of, they're rough problems, and I didn't really get to work them out so much, but, you know, some random thoughts, but, you know, it'll be a little bit of a chabura. Okay, so just to start from yesterday, so the basic Gemara's question is simple, is that if you didn't place an Eruv Tavshilin, is it, then you can't cook? Is it pshat that you can't cook, period? Or do you say that your dough, your flour, is also prohibited? Which means that you can't have somebody cook your flour. Okay? Is it a problem to have someone cook your flour for you? If you give it to him, look, it says it, so you can do whatever you want with it. But is it a problem to have someone cook your dough? So the Rambam says, Kashem, just like you can't cook, someone can't your bread can't be cooked. Someone can't cook your flour. So the question is, what do you mean kashem, right? I mean, just like. It's a totally different thing. So we said the question is what's the isser? See, because like for instance, it's asr on Shabbos. Is isr malacha? You're not allowed to cook from Yontif to after Yontif. That's not the raisa. But Yontif to Shabbos is the rabbanon. Okay, because you may get confused. The raisa you're allowed to do. The rabbanon you're not allowed to. With Elmas, you have an Eruv. So you could say is that they basically said that the Isser Derabbanan of Bishol, the Isser Malacha, is intact with any of Tashilin. You can't do it's also to cook. Okay, so it's an Isser Malacha. So a Malacha always goes by who did the Malacha. Your servant does Malacha, it's his Malacha, it's not your Malacha. It's always whoever the Malacha is always defined by the actor, by the doer. In terms of Malacha, it's productivity, a human being producing, being involved in productivity. Who cares who sanctioned, who told you to do it, who put you up to it, who commissioned the job? It doesn't matter. The point is, who's doing the productivity? So if Isser is an Isser of Bishel, of Malacha, then it doesn't matter who's Kamach it is, who's flower, it doesn't, there's no difference. What do you say? No, it's not an Isser of Malacha, really. Malacha is Mutter, Yantav to Shabbos. It's totally a separate Isser Darabanan of preparing for Yantav to Shabbos. You can't do malacha preparations. It's an isser on the preparation, really. And it's isser on the preparation, so then the question is, whose preparation isn't like a mechanical action. It's an idea that you're like procuring your Shabbos needs on Yantif. You're not allowed to procure your Shabbos needs on Yantif. And that could take place in two forms, either by cooking, by physically doing it, or by telling someone to do it for you, letting them use your flour. So that's also procuring it. Okay, that's also the preparation. The point is, the preparation is defined by the owner of the thing, okay, not by the guy who's doing it. It's the preparation of the balabai, so the guy who owns it. And the other guy is merely his vehicle of the preparation. But it's the preparation of the owner, and therefore, it's going to be usser. It doesn't matter whether you do it yourself or you let somebody else do it for you. It's going to still be the same problem. Right? Right. It's an isser of his preparation of this guy. The guy who doesn't have an eruv. You don't have an eruv, your preparation is described. Your preparation cannot take place. So it doesn't matter whether you do it or someone else does it. Okay? Separate isser. Or do you say, again, that it's like a isser of malacha? It's not a preparation for Yom Tachol, but it's an isser of malacha. Isser of malacha goes by who's doing the malacha. Who cares? It doesn't matter who commissions it. It's a matter of who does the ma'aseh malacha. Because it's like a mechanical malacha. It's like an action, a mechanical action. Whoever does it. The preparation is like a goal-oriented thing. It's the idea is you're getting food for Yom Tov, for Shabbos. So whoever is doesn't go by technically who's doing it. But whose preparation is it called? Right? Like, for instance, if like you have a caterer prepared the food, you know, the Charmel caterer prepared for the wedding, you'd say, well, they didn't prepare. The guy who works there prepared or whatever. But you know, it's the preparation of the caterer. I mean, it happens to be there's individual guys who did it, but essentially it's the he's a good caterer, he prepares well. It's, he didn't do it, he did it through his guys. But that's the idea, that he's on, you know, it's his food, he's preparing it. He's doing it via messengers, but the preparation is defined by the owner of the thing. Right, the owner of the food. Right. But if you said, like, who did the maisa, the action of cooking, of course the action of cooking is done by the chef or whoever it is that's doing the action of cooking. Okay, that's what we learned in the Rambam. So since the Rambam holds that it's necessary preparation, it's kashem, it's really the same thing. It doesn't matter whether you cook or you have someone cook for you. Okay, same problem. Okay. But kashem means it's like the same problem. But we said it seems from Rashi, or the Ran openly says, that it's like a kanas. It's like a penalty. It's not that really intrinsically it's an assert of the maisa of preparation, the maisa of cooking. And therefore, essentially, it's only also for the guy who's actually doing it. Who cares about your flour? But the Rabbanan prohibited this flour as a knas, as a penalty. And a problem which is bothering us is, why are you penalizing him? Why are you penalizing him for not placing an Erev? There's no halacha, presumably, that you have to place an Erev. Let's say, I just don't want to cook. I don't plan on cooking. My chef is going to cook. So why do I have to put, what, there's something wrong with not placing an Erev? He's going to place an Erev. Of course, he has to place an Erev. My chef's placing an Erev, I don't prepare, so what do I need an Erev? You're going to penalize me? The fact that I didn't place an Erev, that my chef can't cook? What's the problem? He's placing an Erev, let him cook. So I'm benefiting from it. Who cares? There's no halacha that I can't benefit. The point is I can't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because that's going to lead for me to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. But have someone else do it, who really cares? So it's the sense of learning that it's a kanas, right? It's a little bit funny. Okay. So let's leave that question. I mean, that's kind of the question that was lurking in the background there. But let's look at Tosos and perhaps the Ram. Let's see if what could emerge. Okay. So we have Yud, Zayin, and Aleph, Tosos. Okay, you started with the Ram. I'm just going to start with Tosos. I think they're comparable, and, you know, Tosos is a little shorter. Okay. A little simpler, I think. Ooh, that sun. So he's not even off. Let's see how this works out. Okay. Sorry, Adam. So let's see. So you're dying with Aleph. So this is fine. Okay. So Iyamar Du Nasar Vakim Chon Nasar. So again, the Gemara says, is the way the Gemara formulates the problem is he Asar alone, or is he Asar and his Kemach is Asar, his flour? Okay. Fine. So it says like this. And it says basically that if you say that his kemach is asur, so then he has to actually give the transfer ownership of his kemach to the other guy. Because his kemach can't be cooked unless he gives it as a gift to somebody. If he gives it as a gift, he gives it as a gift. But other short of that, it can't be used. But if you say it's not, his kemach is not asur, then he doesn't have to give it as a gift. He can just let someone else cook it. So teva, Tosa says. Since his kemach is asar, if you say his flour is asar, ma moel hakniel acherim. What does it help to give it to somebody else? Mi yachol asalik esav shabo, kedeis yachol hu atzmo achar shnasar. Could he possibly remove the isar if the thing is asar? The kemach is asar. It's like the chafta becomes asar. So then, could he remove the isar by just giving it to somebody else? So now the other guy will cook it, and you could eat it. How does that work? He's saying is that if the thing is a chatzal asar, the chatzal asar. I mean, it's presumably it's asar for me, but how could I give it to somebody else? And now it's something that's mutter to me. How does it work by just give it to somebody? If the chatzal asar, the chatzal asar. Who cares who owns it? Okay. The od kasha, kivon shehu ne'asar, since it's asar. Okay, since it's Asar, how does it help? Right? I'm sorry, since he's Asar, let's say he's Asar, not the Kemah, but he's Asar. How does it help if somebody else could cook for him? How's that allow? You allowed to have somebody else do for you that which you're not allowed to do? As if you're not allowed to cook, so now you just tell someone else to do it for you? He's like, you're shliach. Is that, you can't have somebody else also for you. You can't tell somebody else to do it for you. Even forgetting about the kemach, it sounds like. He says, if you say the kemach is asr, then how does it help to give it to somebody else? They serve as an asr, so it shouldn't be getting removed. And even forgetting about that, insofar as saying, he's asr, you say he's asr. Right, but how? Just because he's asr doesn't mean how is it? Is it that you could tell somebody else to do it for you? If you're asr, then you shouldn't be allowed to commission somebody else to do it either. I'm not sure why he's so convinced about that, but to him that's a strong question. Tosus holds that can't be. If you're not allowed to do it. You can't tell somebody else to do it. Right? I don't really see that. You know, like let's say there's a standard example. I mean, I know this is what we hold, but like, let's say you make early Shabbos. So it's also for you to do malacha, but you can tell somebody else to do malacha because it's not on Shabbos for him. So they say similarly, look, I didn't place an erev, so I'm also, but he did place an erev. So he's a mutar, so it's not also for him. So why can't I tell him to do it for me? I don't exactly see the force of that question. I kind of hear his first question. First question is saying, chavtz is also. So how does it become mutar? Because I transfer ownership. Alright, but. But he's saying he's also bothered by how do you just tell someone else to do it for you? Okay, so therefore he says like this: the kach nera leak, it gives us the
here's
a bahag. What? That's a little
different, no? Because there it's like mesur maaser. Here, it sounds like he's saying here it can't just be mesur maaser because we already have mesur maaser, so it must be mesur chavsah, which would have to take effect in a different way.
Where's here?
Well, the kemach.
The kamatz is mechafza.
Right, can't just, it's not just in the surmase.
Right, it's a chafza. So you say, if it's a chafza, then who cares if you give it to somebody else?
Right, I'll be, I guess
that's
I'll be
upset
to you.
Like, what?
I guess it will have a certain.
It's service for you, who cares who owns it? Right?
Right.
That's his first question.
I'm saying it's not the same as the case when it's not Shabbat. Because there it's really going to be like a surmase anymore, no?
Where it's not Shabbat? Shabbos? I'm not sure. I don't follow you. So he says, so therefore it seems to him like the Bahag, which says, E amrit hu na'asar v'en kimcha na'asar, if you say he's asar but not the flower, matzi lachnu kimcha l'acherim. He could be komakne his stuff to somebody else. V'oz mo'al ha'kinyan, and the kinyan will work. I'm not sure it means work. E amrit hu na'asar v'en kimcha na'asar, they're both asar. He's not able to be machnit to somebody else. Because the Kenyan is not going to help. What does that mean? The question is, does the Kenyan help or not? If you say the chafta is mutar, then he can come back to somebody else. And it will help. But if you say not, if you say the chafta is asr, then the Kenyan won't work. He was not able to mimic it because it doesn't help. Right, but I don't say, so what does that mean? It won't help. I mean, he's mimic to somebody else. Unless he means, like, could somebody else use it? I mean, if you say chavtz is also, then the next guy can't use it. Because the Tos didn't like saying, is that could you just give it to somebody else? How's that going to move the yeser? So. If the chavtz asr, chavtz asr. What's he saying?
And why is he taking
it? I think the Bahag is learning is that the question is the chavtz of the flower asr to me? If you say my flower is asr to me, the chavtz becomes asr. So then even if I give it to somebody else, the chavtz is asr. Like he says in the beginning, the chavtz is asr, chavtz is asr. I don't care if you give it to somebody else, the chavtz is still asr to me. So it's not going to help. So I don't think it means you can't be magnet. You can't be magnet, but why would you ever give it to somebody? Why would you give away your flour? It's not going to help you at all. It's not going to be a mutter to you. But if you say it's just an issur for you to cook, so it's true. So if it's also for you to cook, you can't let somebody else cook for you because that's not going to do anything because he's just cooking your. He's doing what you can't do. But if you give it to somebody else, so then it's his stuff. So then if he wants to cook it, so let him cook it. And then he wants to give it to you, that's also fine.
Because there's no isser in the chavta. See, if the chavta is asr, then you can't have the chavta. I don't care if it's his, that, or whatever, you can't have the chavta. But it's not an isser in the chavta, it's just an asr for you to cook. So then I can see you can't cook it. And if it's still in your resource, you can't have him do it for you, because that's like somehow you're doing it. But if you give it to the other guy, and he cooks it his own food, and then just gives it to you, so then what's the problem? Right? It sounds like that's what the Balak is learning. Not, and how's that different? Different because he's learning that everybody holds that if you don't give it to the other guy, it's not going to help. So according to Rashi's way, if you say that it's only also for you, then you could hire somebody else. That's really the question. Could you hire somebody else? You're right. According to Rashi's way, if you give it to somebody, then no problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever if you give it to somebody. The only question is if you don't give it to him, could you have him cook for you? That's what Rashi's learning. But the Tosfos or the Bahag is learning that, no. If you keep it in your hand, your shos, forget about it. That definitely is not going to help. That's definitely not going to help. But if you give it to somebody else, that's the question, will that help you? If the chavtz is also, not going to help you. If the chavtz is not also, then that will help you.
Why? Because it won't be konen? You can't be konen? Like
if what?
If it's
also? Chavtz is also?
Yeah.
No, you could be konen, but if the chavtz is still also, you. It's not going to help.
Also to an individual.
Yeah, it's also an individual. So the person who owns it.
So lomo il kinyan doesn't mean...
Yeah, I don't think he means it's lomo il to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. I don't think he means it won't work in terms of Choshem Mishpah. But I think he means that it won't... It's not going to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. He's trying to accomplish, it won't help. It won't help in terms of making his thing able to be eaten. So it's pretty simple, actually.
Is he saying that the kinyan is not mo'el?
Yeah, but I think the kinyan is not mo'el to remove the eser.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, Matzi, like Nekim Cholo, he is not able to be Machna Tzad. It doesn't mean he's not able to. I don't think he means he's not able to. I think he means he's not going to do anything in terms of his purpose here that he wants to eat his bread.
Right?
So just to summarize it, I think it's pretty simple. There's two cases. One case is if you want to cook, to give it to somebody to cook in your Rishas. Just to let it, not to transfer ownership, to let him cook in your Rishas. The other case is to give it to him and let him cook it and then give it to you. Basically, the only way in theory to act is you can't cook, definitely. So the only way is to have somebody else do it for you. But there's two ways to have them do it for you. One way is to have them do it while you still own it. The other way is to transfer ownership. According to Ra, so that's A, case A and B. A is where he does it, where he cooks it when it's in your ownership. B is if you transfer it. According to Rashi, B is definitely mother. You definitely could transfer ownership. That's, everyone agrees with that. There's no question. The question is A mother or not? Is it mutter to have him cook it in your rishos? If you say that the kemach is aser, it means you can't have him cook in your rishos. If you say the kemach is mutter, so then there's no problem. According to Tosfos of the Bahag, A is definitely aser. Definitely he can't cook in your rishos. Okay, because since it's your kemach is aser, since it's aser for you to do it, you can't have somebody else do it. The only question is case B, is if I give it to somebody else, does that help me? If you say that the kemach is aser, so then, that's not going to help. Kemach is aser, kemach is aser. But if you say the kemach isn't aser, then giving it as a gift will be fine. I'll make a mutter for me. Right?
So there's no mutter case for Tosfos about.
There's a question.
For Kimponesa.
If you say Kimponesa, there's no way around it. Correct. Right. No way around it. Exactly. This Bahag is quoted in the Ran also. I mean, we didn't do the rest of the Ran, but. The Ran quotes Bahag. He says, "Av a bal hilchos goreis kain." He says a little different. Iyamer who neser kimcha neser. If they're both aser, lo matzeg ne kimcha lacherim. Can't give his kemach to somebody else. Mneisha shekimcha kamokas. Just his kemach is aser, just like he's aser. He's aser to cook. His kemach is aser. They're both absolute aser. It doesn't matter. You give it to somebody else. Who really cares? It's still aser. It's not going to become utter. Kemach is aser. Just like he has no way to cook, there's no way to matir his kemach. They're both basically absolutely aser. But if you say it's only he's also not his kemach, he can give his kenya, his flour to somebody else. But he still needs akna. He still has to transfer ownership. Because otherwise, the guy's like your shliach. If you don't give it to somebody according to the Bahag, for sure it's going to be awesome. Because he's like your shliach. He's like your messenger. So what's he saying? So according to the way we defined it already, right? What did we say already? The Rambam. Right? Let's forget about Knas. I mean, let's just say, It seems like what we said already could be fine for Rashi, right? Because that's Rashi saying is that if you say it's a Maisa Isser, it's a Maisa Isser, so then you could have someone else do it for you. You're not doing the Maisa. He's doing the Maisa. And he hasn't been able to shema. But if you say it's an Isser of Hachana, right, the Isser to prepare, then if you're preparing Vayah Shliach, it's like you're preparing. It's not a physical action. Like, it's not a Maisa Begufa with your body. It's an idea of a goal-oriented preparing. And the pairing is going into things. So if I do it via shlich, it's the same thing, right? So that seems to be that's how Rashi is learning, right? That's how he's learning.
According to Rashi, in the end, he's having his stuff prepared, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not his. Once you transfer it to ownership, then it's not his. See, according to Rashi, you'd say it's not pshat that the chafza is awesome. See, Rashi's not learning that, like we learned in the Rambam. It's not pshat that the chafza is asr. The chafza is not asr. The kemcha ne'asar doesn't mean the chafza is asr. It means it's really nisar you. But what can you do? Is it that you can't do the action of cooking, or is it that you can't prepare? And preparing is called your preparing if it's your kamach. See, that's the idea, that if it's your kamach, then it's your preparing. The process of preparation is done. Is called by the mishaleach, by the sender, the one who initiates it. So therefore, it's still you're cooking, you're preparing, right? So that's the idea of kimcha. Kimcha ne'asar, Rashi thing, doesn't mean the physical chafzah is asar. The physical chafzah is asar. Those things, how can you give it to somebody else? It's not going to do anything. The physical chafzah is asar. It's asar, it's asar. But he's saying it doesn't mean the physical chafzah is asar. It means you can't be a preparer. Now that the way you define you as a preparer is if your kemach is being prepared, then you're the preparer. If it's your flour, and if you give it to somebody, so then it's not your kemach anymore. Kimcha doesn't mean the chafza of your kemach. It doesn't mean the chafza. It just means that you can't be the preparer. So that you being the preparer, if it's yours, you're the preparer. It's defined by you if it's yours. But if it's not yours, then it's not defined by you.
You
right?
Didn't have any relationship with it in terms of its preparation. When it was being prepared, it wasn't yours.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't yours. So it's not your preparation, it's his preparation. Then he just gives you his thing. So what does that do with you?
It's your unfinished product.
Exactly. And on the other side, but if you, the other side is that, no, it's not necessarily preparation, it's sort of do the mice of the physical action of cooking. So if that's the case, so I can have somebody do it for me. You don't say shlichus shalom kvoso because you don't say shlichus by a mice. If the Isser is the physical Maisa, so then you can't say he's my Shliach. He's not my Shliach. I'm the one doing the action, or he's the one doing the action. That's not my action. See, Shlichus is true when you're dealing with like a goal or anything. So Tosus is looking at it like that. Tosus is not looking at it like a Maisa. He's saying that he doesn't buy that, apparently. He doesn't buy it, say it's like a Maisa Malach. It's not about his preparation. Preparation, who really cares whether you're hiring somebody else to do it? It's the same thing. It's your preparation. It's not going to help you to just hire somebody else. It's your preparation. How's that going to help? Right? And if the chafza is asr, Tosus is saying, then how does it help if you transfer the chafza to still be asr? But Tosus is learning the chafza being asr to mean is really like an isr in the object. Whereas Rashi is learning, it doesn't mean the object is asr. It just means you can't be a preparer, and the way you measure whether you're a preparer is whether it's your object. But once you give it to the other guy, then it's not, you're not the preparer anymore. Right? So what Tosus learning the question is? Is it just an Isser for you to be a preparer? Or is it Chafta itself defined as Isser? Strange. What does that even mean? I know, that's funny. I mean, I think that's what he's saying now. But it means the Chafta... What?
Sounds like a factual question. Do they throw in the
chafza? I know. Well, we have to get the svara for it. But it's just like as the terms of what he seems to be saying is that if you don't place an eretz tavshilin, then the rabbanon defined your chafza, your kemach, as being asr. Right? Is it they said you can't prepare, or they said no, if you don't have an eretz tavshilin, not that you can't prepare. The way they did it is by saying all your kemach is asr. Now, if that's the case, it's not going to help you to go to somebody else or whatever. Your kemach is also. The chafta, this kemach in Yerushalayim, it's all also here. Now you give it to somebody else, it's still the same chafza, the chafza is the chafza, it's the nicer than the chafza. You're like, maybe it's mukta or something. I mean, I don't know, it's like a subjective mukta, that's what's funny. It seems like if you gave it to somebody else, why would they do that, right? It's just a strange...
How does that work? Like, it's not yours anymore, it's a different...
I know, but he's saying it's like the chafza. I know, it's funny, it sounds like kachem or something. Like, the chafza is a designation of
kachem. The chafza is usher for you. To prepare, which is the same thing you just said to the other.
But it's still the chafza, though. Now, the difference is in one of them, you can't be the prepare. So as long as you own it, you're the prepare. But if the chafza is asur, it doesn't matter if you transfer ownership, the chafza is still the chafza. The chafza doesn't change when you transfer ownership. But your relationship to it and you being defined as a preparer changes if you transfer ownership.
So you're saying that since the chafza is asur, that's still...
Chafza is the chafza.
No, but is that saying that there's still a tziruf to you in the chafza?
No, not necessarily. The chafza is asuriyah, this chafza becomes asuriyah.
So when it becomes, when it's being prepared, when you don't own it anymore, then... See, what I'm trying to say is that it's still asuriyah to you, right? So you're saying there's still, once you're mocking it to someone else, there's still a tziruf.
Right. Well, because it's the chafza. Like, let's say, for instance, I don't know if this is true, I don't know the halacha so much, but let's say I made an ad there. I said, all the bread in my house is asur. Okay, I make an adak. Okay, there's a cabinet full of bread. I say, all this bread in my house is asur. Okay? Now, let's say then I give it to somebody else. Okay? Right? So now, could I eat it then, if he owns it? If I sell it for Chan Pesach, whatever. Sell it then. So now, could I eat it? I mean, it's still the bread in the house, and I asked for this bread. These chavtzos. The fact that I own it, who really cares? The chavtzos became that also. I define the chavtzos as a chavtzos for me. So now, who cares if I own it or not? Ownership is just, you know, is the reason why the chavtzos is also is because I own it. But bottom line is, the iser resides in the chavtzos. And now the chavtzos is also to me, whether or not I still retain the relationship which brought about the iser and the chavtzos. Now the iser inheres in the chavtzos, so the chavtzos is also to me. Just like in an ender. So even though the reason why I asked the bread unto me is because it was mine, but bottom line is, I asked the bread to me, now the chafza is awesome. So that's what he's learning, is that it's an issue in the chafza, as in here's in the chafza, it doesn't matter whether you still own it or not. It's true, if you never owned it in the first place, it wouldn't have been an awesome. But you did own it, at the time that the thisar said, and you owned it. So therefore it's in, that's it. So now the issue is the issue. So now you can't get rid of it. Now you give it over to somebody, who cares, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's locked in. Locked in advanced muscles or whatever. I mean, that's the wrong answer. It's not necessarily locked in. But I mean, this way of learning is just locked in. But what's difficult, I guess it's a strange idea, though. Like, what's the sense of saying the chafza is asur?
It's not a knas. You never mentioned knas.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, the rabbi mentions knas, right? Yeah. You could say knas, but it's still not that satisfying. But I mean, you could go that way. Is that it's also because they've made a knas. But somehow you think you want to defend that a little bit. It could be that's the way you have to go, but like, what's the sense of the knas, you know? Why would they do that? What's the, you know? What bothers me about a knas, I mean, a knas is usually a penalty for abuse. If someone abuses something, so he set up a knas. You know? If you leave your chametz over Pesach, then you're not allowed to. Then we penalize you that you can't have a benefit from. Usually it's because you did something wrong. But here, like, what do you do wrong? You're just not placing an error. You have to place an error if you're not interested in cooking? I don't know, why do you? There's no issue, you know? It's circular. I mean, look, there's intrinsically, if I don't want to cook, then there's no problem. He says, with our opponent said, no, even if you don't want to cook, your stuff becomes awesome. Why? Because we're going to penalize you. Penalize you for what? For not putting an error? Well, I don't need an error. I don't plan on cooking. Someone says, no, but we're penalizing you anyways. Because you didn't place an error. Well, what do you do wrong? Is there an issue not placing an Eruv? I thought an Eruv was a mat, you're a cook. It's akar. If you want to cook, you have to do this. But if you're not cooking, then what's the beef? Right? That's why I just can't understand that.
Who's saying it's just an issue?
It sounds as if that Chazal really wanted everyone to be placing Eruvs. Like, the idea is like, you want to remind the person. You don't want a person to get confused and think, you cooked me on the Shabbos, you cooked me on the Chol. Right? But, like, maybe it's not, like, an individualistic problem that this guy is going to cook me on the Shabbos, and then tomorrow he's going to be on the Chol, next week, you know? It's like, it's like they're trying to create an awareness in the society. Like a kalachomer, like that's the way the Gemara said it. Like, I don't make a kalachomer. Like, the Erev will remind the person, oh, you're not allowed to cook for Yom Tish opposite that Erev. Certainly not allowed to cook for Yom Tish the whole. There's like a positive, the way the Erev works, it's not just like by prevention, but it's like a positive institution which teaches the right idea and reminds everybody that this is a different day. This is unique, there's an Erev, it's for Shabbos, this is Mutter, that's awesome. So, like, it's not, the goal really is to get everybody to be doing it. It's a societal thing. Comes along Yom Tov and everyone says, oh, did you place an Erev? Did you place an Erev? There's an idea that there should be an awareness. It's not like it's not designed to be like a one individual, each guy on his own remembers this idea and won't lead to a problem. But it's like designed on a societal level that in the era before Shabbos, before Yom Tov, everyone's saying, oh, do you place here, do you place here, do you place here? And the era becomes like a part of the culture of Erev Yom Tov, of a 3-day Yom Tov, a 2-day Yom Tov. And that's the way it works, is that it teaches to remind everybody so no one gets confused. Because this is a little confusing from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Yom Tov to Chol. So basically, the way that the setup was is that people should be placing Erevs. But they can't like just mechayev you to place an Erev. Like, they can't, like, what's the chiyuv? Just chiyuv to place an Erev? Like, how do they do that? Right? The way they did it was through saying, if you don't place an Erev, then you're not going to be allowed. Erev is your matir kuk. Erev is your matir kuk. That's the point, first halacha. Erev is your matir kuk. So, therefore, most people will place it. Right? So, Erev is your matir kuk. But it lends itself. That formulation, the basic formulation, Erev is your matir to cook, lends itself to people working their way around it. See, really, they want everybody to be placing Erev. But the way in which they do it is they say, Erev is your matir. Right, Erev is your matir to cook. But what here, what they do is, well, see, when a guy could basically say, oh, I don't need an Erev, I'll work out a way. I won't have an Erev, I'll go to my friend, I'll get my servant to cook for me, I'll give my stuff to somebody, you know. So what they did, they don't want that. Technically speaking, you can't say the guy did anything wrong, because Erev is your matzah to cook, and I don't need to cook. But that's not the idea here. The idea is that the society is a society of Erev. You know what I mean? And the way they did it is through saying that Erev is the matzah. But basically, the saying is that as a knas, if you say it's a knas, they didn't leave it at that. They didn't just say Erev is your matir to cook, but they said without an Erev, your kamach is asar. Without an Erev, they created nisar, chafta on your staff, on your kamach. And therefore, everyone's going to cook. You're not going to be able to, look, you ultimately can't get around it. If a guy wants to say, I'm not going to cook, I'm just going to eat out all my meals. I don't have any kamach, I'm a single guy, I just go out, you know, so there's nothing you can do. I mean, there's no way to get around that. And look, it could be anyways, he's not subject to the whole parsha of preparing. He's not even in that world. But a guy who has a house and has kamach, so he's a guy really who is a preparer. And he has a house and he has preparation, and basically he's in the parsha of preparing for Yom Tov to Shabbos. And so the Chazal wanted to make sure that everyone, that will be a widespread institution of Eretz Hashilin. There's a danger here. So the way they enforced it through knas, that they said, if you don't place an Erev, then your chafta, then all your kamach is going to be asr for Shabbos. Asr to use for Shabbos. And thereby, they asr your chafta, thereby it will make sure that everyone does it. So it's like, it's not a knas because you did something wrong, technically halachically, you didn't violate something. But you're going against the idea of the Derech HaKham. The idea of the Derech HaKham is that everyone has Erev. In fact, if you remember, that was like part of the discussion. Remember this question is like, could you rely on the Rav of the year? Yeah. Or like, you're supposed to place it yourself? Could you rely on the Rav? Yeah. So there's a whole machlokas about whether you can lechachila rely on him. Is it Poshaya? I remember, like, if you had time and you didn't, that blind guy, I remember, who was trying, you know, he forgot one year and then the next year. So like, there's an idea, it seems from all these things, that there's an idea is that they want people to be placing Erevs. Like even the Rosh said, I just saw today, the Rosh is like, in general, you're not really allowed to rely on the Rav if you don't have to. It's only if you're an honest, or a guy who can't. You know, it's the Rosh looks about this, you know what I mean? But it seems like in Erev, I mean, I don't know, I'm not exactly in touch with why, but like they held there's really a real problem here. People are going to really get confused. It is confusing, you know, you cook me on the Shabbos, you don't relate to the Shabbos is the same. You cook me on the Shabbos, you cook me on the Tefillin. And it's like, it wasn't enough. Simply, I mean, look, they had at their disposal, so they couldn't be Mechayiv on a mitzvah or whatever, or sent per se. The way they did it is through Isser. But apparently, or arguably, it wasn't enough just to say you can't cook. I mean, that's the question. Is there a Kenasser? At least one way of learning, is there a Kenasser or is there not a Kenasser, right? But the area is, that seems to be his question, is how did they form, how did they accomplish this idea? Is Mishum Kenas, is they're trying to make sure people do it and to try to give you consequences if you don't have an Erev, and thereby ensuring everyone's going to place an Erev, because they're trying to get at the goal of making sure everyone plays an Erev.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, Mark.
That's really a good point. It's true. It's like, emotionally, it's a little hard, because people like make taboos against certain things. Shabbos, you can't cook on Shabbos, don't touch that oven. Right? There's like, you won't go near an oven. Right? But on Yom Tov, you do. You turn on your oven in a second on Yom Tov. Now you tell the guy, oh, but be careful. Depends how you cook, but you can't cook for Yom Tov. You can't cook for Chol. Oh, for Shabbos you could cook, not for Chol. You know, so it's like, I'm allowed to cook. I'm even allowed to cook for a different day, just not for Chol. Like, that's slippery. That's a kind of a thing which the normal emotional blocks that you have against certain activities become, like, knocked down. It becomes, like, it's a subtle abstract distinctions. So it could be that they held that this had to be, they had to go all out here and set up a widespread idea of Erev so that everyone and everywhere will know about this thing. And once you start having certain households and certain whatever, they don't have it, and the kids start learning whatever. I mean, the point is that their holding is like it's accomplished, it seems like they're king, it's accomplished through a communal effort, so to speak, as opposed to through each individual. And therefore, you could have a kenas for not placing an Erev, even though technically speaking, you can say they didn't do anything wrong. But they're basically proactive about ensuring everybody's doing it. Because otherwise it's just not going to work. Like if you just had, for instance, a rich town, let's say, and you had a few chefs who cooked for everybody. And those few chefs ended up placing Erev and no one else did. So people are going to forget about the thing. No one's going to really know what's happening. You know, Erev, whatever, they do it. They're the rabbis, they do it. And that's it. Everyone's going to know what's going on. You know, so people are going to make mistakes now. Then those guys will pass away and whatever it is. And then, you know. So it could be like this is a dangerous, slippery area, and therefore there's a premise that there's kenas here. But that's kind of like in the background here. I mean, I'm not really saying it's a svara here. I just kind of, without the sense of the thing, it's just hard to go further. But I think the svaras are the definition that we're playing around with. How did they set up the Isser? In the Rashi and the Rambam, is it an Isser of Maisa or is it an Isser of Achana? Is the goal? Within Tosfos, is it Nisr of the goal, is Nisr Achana, or is the As of the Chafta? It's Nisr of the Chafta. Right? Yes, so Mars is asking, if you look at the Ran, at the Bahag, where he quotes Bahag, right? So where he says the Chafta is Asr, your Chafta is Asr, he says also, the Bahag, you know, also clearly you can't cook somebody else's food for them. Right? I mean, I think that's from our Gemara, but even if you say it's an Isser on the Chafta, which means your food becomes Asr, don't think that means but somebody else's food is permitted for you to cook. That's not true. You can't do that either. Right? He says, Hilka, Sikna, Dhun Asr, and Kemchon Asr. We conclude that your Asr, but then your Kemach is not Asr. Hilka, Matzik, Nir Kemchon Asr. Right? Oh. Since he's an Asr, he can't cook for others, even their Kamach, an Asr, so they've Asr Kwal. I understand. But you mean, you're not saying it from there, but you're saying it through the Lashon, to an Asr, but Kimchon Asr. Both.
I'm just saying, Joe.
Both. I mean, it seems it doesn't seem like he's claiming that it would be mutter for you to cook somebody else's food, right? You know, but I would say to that is that there's two things. There's the primary formulation, and then there's Kenas. Everyone, I'd say, is agreeing. The primary formulation is that you can't cook. Okay? You can't cook. Or you can't prepare, whichever one that is. Okay? That bishul, the Erev, is your matir to cook. Or your matir to prepare. The question is, if you say that the chafta is asr, that's a kenas. That saying is like, they didn't leave it at that. Because the primary thing is that Erev, halachically, the way they set up Erev, what is Erev? Erev is matir for you to cook. But they said is that if you don't place an Erev, then they can't ask the Yechafta. You know, Yechafta is Asar. That's like a super added thing. But like, first you have to say, what is an Erev? An Erev is the Matir Gok. It's not a Matir of your Chafta. It's the Matir Gok. But if you didn't place the Erev, and you didn't make use of the Matir Gok, then not only is it you can have the Matir, but then you have a penalty that you can't, your Chafta being Asa. But since that's the case, if you didn't place an Erev, besides your Chafta being Asa, you can't go because you don't have Matir Gok. The Matir Gok is that you have the Erev.
So what's the
machlokes
whether or not
they made a kanas? I guess according to that, according to the Hag.
It's not a funny machlokes.
It's a little funny. So some of the artists is asking, so what's the machlokes? Did they make a kanas? Did they make a kanas? Strange, right? It's like according to the Hag. Do you say that? Right, he's saying is one side says they made a kanas to chafta. The other side is saying is no, they just said that erev is a matir to be preparing. So therefore, you can't prepare whether you or your shluchim or whatever, but there's no knas. So Mar is saying, maybe the question is this premise which we're saying, is that how did Erev function to teach people the idea? Is it that it functions essentially on a societal level, that everybody should be placing an Erev, and thereby societally everyone will know this idea? So then they have to basically force people to do it. So the knas, they're going to force everybody to do it. What do you say is that the Erev works on an individual level? Is that the way the Erev works is that if you want to cook as an individual, then you run into the danger of getting confused. And any time you want to get involved in that danger, you have to place an Erev, because that's your matir. The action which creates the danger is the cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And the matir to do that action is the Erev that you had a reminder. So therefore, it works. The Isra is set up by pinpointing the danger spots and saying is you can't do this dangerous action unless you first have that there. You know, whereas if you say kanas, it's so to speak more of a proactive type of they're searching and destroying the problem altogether. It's not just saying is anyone who engages in it in a questionable or a problem, an activity which may lead to problems has to do something about it. Rather, they were proactive about it, and they basically forced everybody, or did what's in their power to force everybody to do it. The question, how far did they go? How did they accomplish the institution of Erev? Right? You know, the idea of making sure people don't make this mistake. Okay, it's a little better. It's a pretty good question, but what does it conclude? It concludes that it's not us, all right? There's no kind of us, all right?
He changes.
Oh, it's not. He also says not, right? No, that's what the Gutosis does, right? He says at the end they conclude. And the Bahag also says Enkim Chonesar. According to the Rambam, also he says Enkim Chonesar, right?
No.
Oh, he says it is. Oh, so it turns out at the end of the day, whichever way you learn the Machlok, the result is the same.
What?
Right? Because the Bahag is being Makel. He's saying there's no Esser in the Chafetza, but you can't be a preparer. Right, according to the Rambam, the conclusion is the Chumrah. Because his question is it only in Isser Maisa itself, or is it also prepare? And as the Chumrah, is also prepare. But the end result, as far as the same in both of them, is that you can't prepare. You can't be a preparer. And preparer is either if you do the action, or if you have someone else do it for you. So that's the bottom line at the end of the day. According to both sides, it's just the question is which side is that, you know?
So you can't. So as long as it's in your domain, you
can't. As long as it's in your domain, you can't. But if you give it to somebody else, then you could. Okay, that's the punchline. You give it to somebody else, you're okay. But if it's in your other domain,
that's
you can't. I don't know.
Oh.